Before we get into the message, when Nat was praying about the election, I just thought this is a real opportunity for us in the next couple weeks. This is not a scientific survey, but my assessment of sort of the temperature of the nation as we approach the election, if you could judge on a scale from really chill to really worked up. You know, my non-scientific assessment is we're closer to really worked up. And it's a great opportunity for Christians to just act like Christians, right? Just to put our ultimate hope in the Lord, not in any candidate. You know, not to say that we withdraw from it. We want to be involved in our democracy, but our hope is in the Lord. I'm praying for you guys and for myself that the people around us will notice that our heart is in a different place, that there's a peace, a joy, a love that's the fruit of the Spirit is being born in our lives, and that will draw. They'll say, "What's the difference here? What's going on with you? What's different?" And it's a great chance to say, you know, my hope is in the Lord. So take advantage of those opportunities as they come up. just wanted to mention that. And our scripture that we're going to be looking at today, we're continuing our series in Deuteronomy. So if you could turn to Deuteronomy chapter 3, we'll be looking at verses 12 to 29 today. Let's go to the Lord and ask for his help as we look at his word together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is true, and I pray that you would just speak to us right now through your word. I pray that your Spirit would work help us to believe what you've said, to understand, to believe, and to obey what you've said. We just ask for your strength, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are times in our lives when we have to walk through changes. We have to walk through transitions. Some of those transitions and changes are really exciting, like graduating from school, starting a new job. Some are really happy changes, but some of these happy changes also bring new responsibilities, like getting married, like having a baby. Some of the changes that we go through are really difficult. For example, when a family member has health problems and suddenly you're the one that's responsible, or you have a lot more responsibility for that person's care, that's a really difficult change that you're going through. And I could list many more. How do we handle these times of change as people who know the Lord? How should we relate to the Lord as we're walking through these changes? How does the Lord relate to us in times of change? That's what we're going to be talking about today. The text is Deuteronomy chapter 3, verses 12 to 29. And we're going to reflect on God's faithfulness to Israel in their times of change and God's faithfulness to us. Before I read the passage, let me just set up where we've come from. Deuteronomy is a series of messages delivered by Moses to the people of Israel as they're on the border of the promised land. This is the year 1406 BC. The people need to remember at this time, or they're about to go through some major changes, they need to remember who they are, where they've come from, and especially who their God is. Moses has reminded the people how a generation earlier the Lord rescued them from slavery in Egypt. He brought them to Mount Horeb, made his covenant with them, gave them his law, then brought them to the edge of the promised land and told them, go take it. But the people were too scared. They were afraid, and they didn't go fight. And so the Lord disciplined his people. He said, this generation won't enter the land. I'll take the next generation. So 38 years later, all the fighting men of that generation had died, and they fought a couple of battles on the east side. God brought them back up to the to the edge of the Promised Land. They fought a couple of battles on the east side of the Jordan River. Not just a couple battles, several battles, but defeated a couple of Amorite kings. And this is where they are at this point. They had defeated these kings on the east of the Jordan, and they're about ready to cross over the Jordan into Canaan proper and fight the war there to take the land that God had given them. And so this is where we're at. They're about to go through these major changes. So let me pick up where we left off last time, Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 12. At that time we took possession of this land, Moses speaking. I gave to the Reubenites and Gadites the area extending from Aroer. I'm sorry if I'm not saying that right, you Hebrew speakers. I don't know, Amorite speakers, I guess. By the Arnon Valley and half of the hill country of Gilead along with its cities. I gave to half the tribe of Manasseh the rest of Gilead and Bashan, and all Bashan, the kingdom of Og. The entire region of Argob, the whole territory of Bashan, used to be called the land of the Rephaim. Jair, a descendant of Manasseh, took over the entire region of Argob, as far as the border of the Geshurites and the Maacathites. He called Bashan by his own name, Jair's villages, as it is today. I gave Gilead to Machir. I gave to the Reubenites and Gadites the area extending from Gilead to the Arnon Valley. The middle of the valley was the border, and up to the Jabbok River, the border of the Ammonites. The Arabah and the Jordan are also borders from Chinnereth as far as the Sea of the Arabah, the Dead Sea, under the slopes of Pisgah on the east. I commanded you at that time, the Lord your God has given you this land to possess. All your valiant men will cross over in battle formation ahead of your brothers, the Israelites. But your wives, dependents, and livestock, I know that you have a lot of livestock, will remain in the cities I have given you until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you. And they also take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving them across the Jordan. Then each of you may return to his possession that I have given you. I commanded Joshua at that time, your own eyes have seen everything the Lord your God has done to these two kings. The Lord will do the same to all the kingdoms you are about to enter. Don't be afraid of them, for the Lord your God fights for you. At that time, I begged the Lord, Lord God, you have begun to show your greatness and your strong hand to your servant. For what God is there in heaven or on earth that can perform deeds and mighty acts like yours? Please, please let me cross over and see the beautiful land on the other side of the Jordan, that good hill country in Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me because of you and would not listen to me. The Lord said, that's enough. Do not speak to me again about this matter. Go to the top of Pisgah and look to the west, north, south, and east, and see it with your own eyes, for you will not cross the Jordan. But commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will cross over ahead of the people and see them and enable them to inherit this land you will see. So we stayed in the valley facing Beth Peor. This is God's word. Israel is in a time of transition, a time of change. They've left the desert. They've left the wilderness. They came to the land God had promised. They've won a few battles, but they still have to cross the river and fight to take possession of the rest of the land. And they're about to have a change in leadership. Moses is going to die, and Joshua will take over the leadership of the nation. It's an exciting time, but it's also frightening. It's also very stressful for the people. So Moses reminds them of how God has been gracious and faithful. Centuries earlier, God has promised God had promised their ancestors that he would make them into a great nation and give them land. And now God was doing just that for them. You know, in their time, God was giving them land. And Moses reminded the people of God's good plan for their future. He would fight with them. He'd help them take the promised land west of the Jordan, all the way to the Mediterranean. In reminding the people of what God had already done and what he promised to do in the future, Moses is calling on the people to trust God. And not just to trust him in their hearts, but to express their trust by obeying his commands. God is faithful, and God wants them to trust him, to demonstrate that trust through their obedience. That's how God is relating to the nation as a whole. But notice, God relates to certain people in certain specific situations in really specific and even personal ways. And the first example of this is the three tribes who settled on the east side of the Jordan. They're called the Gadites, the Reubenites, and half of the tribe of Manasseh. They're in a unique situation. They have very large herds, lots of sheep and goats. I know many of you can relate to that. You have flocks of goats in your backyard. I don't know if they had chickens or not. I know a lot of you have chickens. Probably not. Chickens don't travel in the desert so well, but they have sheep, they have goats. Okay, so when they fought these kings on the east side, Og and Sihon, and they defeated those kings, the Amorites, and they saw this land, they're like, this is a good place, why don't we just stay here? You know, this is part of the land that God has given us. We like it. It's good for grazing our sheep. We'll stay. And so the Lord gave them that territory. If you notice in verses 12 to 17, Moses outlines the borders of the different territory. The Reubenites and the Gadites would occupy the territory that they conquered from King Sihon, and half of the tribe of Manasseh would take over the land that they conquered from King Og. I know some of you are expecting children. Og is a biblical name. I don't recommend naming your baby Og, though, but it's in the Bible if you're considering it. Okay, so Moses gave them that land, and this is a major milestone in the Bible. For the first time, some of the tribes of Israel would live in their own land, just as God had promised. But along with this gift, God also gives them a command, a responsibility. Look at verse 18. These tribes must not abandon the other tribes, must not abandon the nation as a whole in the fight to conquer the rest of the land. So their families are going to stay behind in their cities on the east of the Jordan, but all the fighting men are going to go with the rest of the nation across the Jordan and fight that war. And even more than that, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and that half-tribe of Manasseh, their fighting men are going to lead the way. They're going to be at the front lines in the war. They have to stay loyal to the whole nation. Even God's already given them their land, but they need to stay loyal to the whole nation and help them in the fight to take the rest of the territory. And they have to trust God in that. While they obey him, they have to believe that we're going to fight this war, and then God is going to let us come home to our families and live in our own cities, just like he promised. And before I go on, I want to say there's an application here for us. In times of change, when we're going through change, we should not forget our connection to God's people. We shouldn't forget our responsibility to God's people, especially the local church. Even if things are going great for you and you feel like you don't need the church that much, the church needs you. If you have a baby, let us pray for your baby. If you move, let us send you off with a blessing. If you retire from your career, you can use some of your extra time to invest in relationships here. If you're struggling, let your small group know, or let the elders counsel you and support you. Don't neglect the body. Don't neglect the whole church in the times, in your times of transition. Now let's consider Joshua, who in the middle of this time of change is in a unique position, a unique situation. He's going to take over the leadership of the nation from Moses. How does God relate to him in a personal way? Joshua was Moses' assistant. Moses is about to die. God has told Moses he's going to die soon. And Joshua is going to become the next leader of God's people. He will lead them in the war for the territory east of the Jordan. And look what God does for Joshua. Look at verse 28. The Lord instructs Moses to commission Joshua and to strengthen him. He's going to, officially commission him for the leadership role he's about to take. And the Lord promises Joshua that through his leadership, the people will inherit the land. And look at verse 21. The Lord reminds Joshua of the victories he witnessed over the Amorite kings. And he promises Joshua, it's going to be the same for you on the eastern side or on the west side of the Jordan. When you cross the Jordan and go fight, it's going to be the same. God will give you victory. God will fight for you. So he's given him this promises. He's given him this gift. But at the same time that he gives him these gifts, he gives him a command. He gives him a special responsibility. And here's God's command to Joshua. Don't be afraid. That's his command. Don't be afraid of them, for the Lord your God fights for you. So Joshua, in his unique situation, is reminded of God's faithfulness, and he's commanded to obey. And his obedience shows that he trusts in the Lord. And when we're in times of transition, we also need to hear this command from the Lord. God is commanding you and me this. This is the command that shows up more than any other in the Bible. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. This is God's command to you and me also. Change is difficult. It's tough. Transitions are stressful. The future is uncertain. What's going to happen? Will I be okay? Will my family be okay? Whatever your specific situation is, God is saying this to you. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. Trust me. Obey me. Express your faith by obedience. I will take care of you. Do not be afraid. Moses was also in a unique situation during this time of change. How does God relate to him? Look at verse 23. Starting in verse 23, Moses shares with the people how he really wanted to go into the proper promised land, into Canaan with them. But God wouldn't let him. And the background to this is described in the book of Numbers. During their time in the wilderness, the people of Israel were complaining against God and against Moses. There was a time in a place called Meribah where they didn't have any water. And they complained to God. They complained to Moses, we don't have any water. It would have been better for us to stay in Egypt. We should have just died. And Moses ask God what to do. God says, speak to the rock and water will come out. And so what does Moses do? He takes his staff and he bangs on the rock because that's what he had done another time and it had worked, But Moses let his frustration with the people get to him and he didn't obey God, to the T like God was asking him to do. He didn't speak to it. He struck the rock. And God worked the miracle. That was God's grace. But God imposed this consequence on Moses. He wouldn't be able to enter the promised land. So here in Deuteronomy, and Moses tells the people that God was angry with him. He says, because of you. So what he must mean is that he had become frustrated with the people, and that frustration played a part in the way that he sinned against God. Not that he doesn't have responsibility for his own sin, he does. And in the same way that God wouldn't let a generation of Israelites enter the land because they disobeyed him, God wouldn't allow Moses to enter Canaan because of his disobedience. even though he disobeyed in a different way. So Moses begs God, God, let me go in, let me enter the land. But God isn't having it. He's like, enough, stop talking about it. Sounds like me and my kids. Stop, I'm tired of hearing this. All right, and however, even though God said, I'm not going to let you, I'm not changing my mind here, he did give them this special grace. He let them climb up. This hasn't happened yet, but he says, you go climb this mountain, and I'll let you look in to see Canaan. I'll let you see. Look every direction. You'll see this land that I'm giving the people. So God had been faithful to Moses. He'd been gracious to him, even as he disciplined him. God had allowed Moses to lead the people for 40 years, and God would let him see the promised land. And then God gave Moses a command. He says, commission Joshua to lead the people. Even that command is a gracious gift of God. Because Moses knows, someone will succeed me. Someone will carry on the work that I started, leading the people out of slavery into a new home. And you might, as I describe this, you might think, what a letdown for Moses. I'm sure it was a letdown. You know, Moses was an amazing leader. He's someone who trusted God, someone who heard God's voice like nobody else. And then Moses commits this one sin. I'm sure he committed other sins, but this is the one that gets a lot of attention in the Bible. He committed this sin, and then he's missing out, you know, on the one desire of his heart to enter the land. God says, I'll let you take a look, but you can't go in. You can take a peek, but then you're going to die. It's rather severe, don't you think? But, when Moses died, that wasn't the end of his story. Centuries later, God's own son, Jesus, took three friends up a mountain in the land of Israel, and they heard God's voice. And Jesus was, the scripture says, transfigured so that his clothes and his face were radiant with light. And two men appeared with Jesus on the mountain with him, great men from Israel's history. It was the prophet Elijah and Moses. So Moses got to go to the promised land. And not only that, he got to talk with the promised Messiah, God's own son, Jesus. So God continued to be faithful and gracious to Moses even after he died. And that's just a sneak preview of the resurrection, of the ultimate promised land, the new heavens and the new earth. So, brothers and sisters, when you go through times of change, times of transition that are difficult, and you see that many things are not working out the way that you wanted, don't forget, God continues to be faithful to you even after your death. This is not all there is. The best is yet to come. So God was faithful to his people Israel during that time of transition and change. He reminded them of all he had done for them so far. He told them about his good plans for their future, and he called on them to trust them. He called on them to demonstrate that faith through obedience. And God is also faithful to his people now, when we are in changing times. God is faithful to you in changing times. We, as followers of Christ, are going through a major change together. God has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his Son, whom he loves. And God is preparing us for the ultimate promised land, the new heavens and the new earth. That's the road that we're on. And there's suffering along the way. So God wants us to remember just how faithful he has been to us until now. Can you think of times that God has been faithful to you? Can you reflect on how he's brought you to today? How he's never left you? How he's always met your needs? God wants us to keep in view the good future that he has for us. Can you picture it? Can you picture life with God forever and ever? It's difficult. I can't. I have trouble thinking of that. But if you can think of the best things on this side, think of the very best things on this side of heaven that are in your life. Your family, you know, with those times where you feel the love of people in your life, and when he's put you in a beautiful place. Think of the best things on this side. Heaven, the new heavens and the new earth are exponentially, astronomically better. You know, he has good plans for us. Life with Jesus, life with the Son of God, forever and ever in a place with no sin or sadness or pain or death. This is what God has for us. So he wants us to keep that in view. And he wants us to demonstrate his trust in him by obeying his commands, especially his commands to love him with our whole heart, to love our neighbor as ourselves, to make disciples of every nation. This is what he's called us to. And what's more, when you're going through changes in your own life, God will be faithful and gracious to you in a special, personal way. If there are any changes going on in your life, if there are some transitions that you're going through, God knows all about it. God knows what you need. He knows what's best for you. And he will give you grace for every step of the journey. So remember how God has been faithful to you until today. Remember his good plans for your future. And remember that his faithfulness to the believer in Christ does not end at the point that you die. There will be a lot of things that won't get worked out the way that you want on this side of heaven. But this is nothing compared to the glory that we will enjoy when Christ returns. All along the way, the Lord wants you to trust him and to obey him. No matter how things change, you can trust him. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your unfailing love. Thank you that your faithful love endures forever. And we just want to rest in that today. We want to trust in you. I pray that you would encourage each of us with this truth. Let it penetrate our hearts. I pray that each of us would sense your love and have the peace that comes at knowing that our lives are in your hands. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.